Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
There's a theme that I come back to every few years, and I come back to it through a different doorway, front door, the back door, and I want to take that theme today because I believe it to be a significant part of the Pesach experience, the Haggadah, and of course it's based on a piece of the Haggadah from my favorite Perek of the Haggadah, the Leil Shimurim of the Aruch HaShulchan. Every year, I say for the last 10 years, we've had another piece of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's based on the hearing. The first page, of course, you have in front of you is Yigdal. How many lines are there in Yigdal?
How many
lines? Who said that? Well, right. There are 13 lines in Yigdal, all right? Well, who knows 13? Huh? Shloshes v'midos. Is there anything else? And that says Shloshes v'midos Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum v'Chanun Erech Apayim Rav Chesed v'Yemes. The 13 attributes of God. Does anybody know anything else that's 13? What? Ah, the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. The 13. Animamins. The 13 animamins.
When one accepts
Torah. Oh, well, okay, now we have 13. When one becomes Bar Mitzvah, one accepts Old Torah. So we have 13 is becoming more and more important. I think most hotels in the United States don't have a 13th floor. So if you're looking for 13 over there, you're not going to find 13 over there. But by calling yourself 13, just like every other number, is important, significant, and meaningful. Yigdal is a poetic rendition of the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. And I always feel every few years that we have to go over these 13 articles of the faith, especially since I've been reading in different magazines, even in the religious community, there's some kind of a weakening of a faith. It may very well be even a lack of knowledge of faith. So we, and this is usually what I expect by the time this year is over, that if I tap you on the shoulder and I say, will you please recite to me the 13 articles of the faith, you will be able to do precisely that.
Oh, sure.
And you know what? Don't laugh. I think I'm going to ask you at the end of this shit to say it over, and you'll be able to say it over without taking a breath in the middle. Without taking a breath. Peneshima achas. Yigdal Elokim chai v'yishtabach nimtze v'ayin eit el mitziyuto. Great is the living God and praise. He exists, and his existence is beyond time. This is the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, which we have in fact on the other side. Maybe we'll read the second side first and go to the first side second. There are the 13 animamins. Animamin b'muna shlema sha'a borei yidbarach shemo hu borei manhig l'chol abruim v'hu l'vador asov v'hosev yalzeh l'chol amasim. I believe in perfect faith that the Creator, blessed be his name. But there is a Creator. Number one is that there is a Creator. The second is that this Creator is one. Absolute unity. One. The third is, he is not physical in any way. He is completely a spiritual entity. And when Torah talks about the hand of God, or the might of God, it's talking in a way that we should be able to understand it. In the Haggadah, you can read about the Biyad Chazaka Uvezeloa Netuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and you can begin to feel as though God is physical. No, he's not physical. Those are expressions that make it easier for us to understand God's might, God's strength. The fourth is an imam and ben munas klemish ha-borei et barak shemo hu rishon v'hu acharon. He's eternal. Rishon v'acharon means he was the beginning of everything and he will be around at the end of everything. God is eternal. The fifth is very important. An imam and ben munas shlem, I believe, a perfect faith, sha-borei et barak shemo lo levado ra'ui lit palel vein ra'ui lit palel zulato. Pray, we pray only to him. We pray only to him. When people go pray at Kivrei Tzadikim, they go to graves all over the world, so they have to know that they're not praying to the Baal Shem or to Rebbe Elimelech Milezhinsk or to Rav Nachman Mibreslov. At worst or at best, what one is saying, we're asking of Rav Nachman that he should intercede on behalf and our behalf before God. But all prayer is directed to him and to him alone. My advice, of course, is when we have our kotel, I don't think you need anything else in the whole world, except if one wants to go for historic reasons to see where great Jews lived and see the destruction that was wrought by a world full of hate. Okay, that's very important. That is very important. But tefillah, oh boy. Not only that, even if you don't go to the Kotel, we live in Yerushalayim. Who is it? Was it, as the joke goes from here, not a joke, from here it's a local call to the Provincial. It's not a long distance call from Yerushalayim. We don't need to go, if you're daven by Rav Nachman in Breslov in Oman, you know what, that tefillah, it's going to become always gemutzit because it has to travel to Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim it goes heavenward. Why take this poor tefillah and mitzvahs oist from the Nishoma? Say it here and you're okay. And that includes Ramat Chaim and Tel Aviv and all sorts of other places. Still local, it's still local.
We have the Chazon Ish.
You have the Chazon Ish. We have God. So, now, the first five articles of the faith all come under the category of the existence of God. Now, the existence of God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God exists, he is one, he is not physical, he is eternal, to him alone do we pray. Now I'm going to make it a little easier for you, because if you look down at the bottom, the 13 principles of the faith, a prose counterpart to the poetic Yigdal, the Animamin and the Yigdal summarize the principles set out by Moses Maimonides. There you have, born in 1135 and died in 1204. The first five are about God. If you will learn that, you'll be able to say it back at the end of this year. His existence, his unity, he's one, his incorporeality, he is not physical, his eternity, Rishon v'Achron, Hoya, Hove v'Yiyah, he was, he is, he will be, and the belief that he alone is to be worshipped. The next four of the 13 articles of the faith talk about Torah miSinai, that Torah was given by God to the Jewish people at Sinai. And therefore, when we go to number 6, it says, Animam and Bamun Ashlema, Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emet, I believe with perfect faith that all of the words of the prophets, they are all true. That alone is not enough. We have to define Vosang and prophets. Ani Mamed Bamun Ashlema, I believe with perfect faith, Shenevuat Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Haita Amitit. I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was the truth, Veshehu haya av lanevi'im, he was the father of all prophets, lakodmim lefanav, greater than all who preceded him, v'laboim acharav, and those who come after. Those two words, v'laboim acharav, are of the greatest historic significance, because there are two other religions that we know of that decided that their prophet is even greater than Moshe.
Oh.
One was Yeshu and the other was Mohammed. It's not so. Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Kol HaNeviim, and anybody who comes and says that such and such prophet is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu has stepped out of the Jewish faith community, and you can call him a kofer be'ikah. He is he has rejected Torah and all that he stands for. It stands for. Number eight, and inam edum u'neshneim eshekol ha'torah mitzuyah ha'tov yadeinu hiyam esunah l'moshe Rabbeinu olam ha'shalom. I believe with perfect faith that the entire Torah that we have in our position now, that was given to us by Moshe. And we've already established that God communicates with man through prophecy, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets. So now what flows naturally from that is that we believe the Torah that we have came to us from Moshe Rabbeinu. And number eight, an imam ben Menashlem, I believe with perfect faith, shekol ha-Torah ha-metzuyah b'yad, shezot ha-Torah, number nine, zot ha-Torah lo tei mochlefet v'lo tehei Torah acheret me'et ha-borei yidbarach shemo. We believe with perfect faith that this Torah is not going to be traded in for another Torah. It will remain for all time. There is no other Torah that comes from God. The Torah as God, as the Jewish people, is eternal. Is eternal. Anybody's going to tell you that this doesn't apply today, and that doesn't apply today, and this is insignificant, and that's unimportant, has already begun the extreme process of walking out of the Jewish faith community.
Who translated into English? Where did you get the translation?
It's interesting that you asked this question.
Yeah.
I Xerox this from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's Koren. So all you Englishmen feel good for a minute or two. Okay.
That's why she asked the question.
I didn't even read his English. Let me see what his English is. I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moses, our teacher, peace be to him. Oh, Hashem, that's nice. Was true, and he was the father of the prophets, those who preceded him, those who followed him. He knows how to translate them very well. He does it well. Okay. So now, 6, 7, 8, and 9, those four articles of the faith deal with Torah, revelation at Mount Sinai. And those four are, God communicates with man, he communicates with men through the prophets. Moshe was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that's in our possession was given to us by Moshe. And that Torah will never be changed. There will be no other Torah after. So now, we are now at a second pillar of Jewish belief. The first one was the belief in God. The second is the belief in the divinity of Torah. And now, we're going to have 10, 11, 12, 13, the last four of the 13 articles of the faith, all deal with the idea of reward and punishment. It can also be called Hashgacha Pratit, that God is intimately involved with each and every one of us. And therefore, number 10 is an imam ibn Ashleima. I believe with perfect faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, Yodea. He knows everything we do, and he knows everything we think. Shenema, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hayotze Yachad Lidom, God who formed all of their hearts, Ha-mevin al-kol ma'aseim, he understands all that they do. He knows what goes on in the hearts of men, and he knows what we do. Our lives are an open book before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Number 11, therefore, is Ani ma'amin b'mun ha-shlemesh ha-borei yibarach shemo gomel tov l'shomrei mitzvotav. He rewards those who keep his commandments, umanish lovrei mitzvotav, and punishes those who transgress him. There must be reward and punishment. Otherwise, it's all for naught, doesn't mean a thing. But man is responsible for his deeds. Not only responsible, but he is also rewarded for his good deeds. Number 12 is most probably the most famous of the animamins, and that's the belief in Mashiach Tzidkenu, animamin b'muna shlema, b'viyat ha-Mashiach, in the coming of the Messiah. Even though he may delay, in kol zach hakelo, I will wait, b'chol yom shiyavo, every day that he comes, anytime he comes, I'm ready and waiting for him. And the 13th is the belief in Tchiyat HaMeitim. And we talked about Tchiyat HaMeitim and all of its ramifications. Was it 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? We learned the second bracha in Shmona Esrei, Mechalkel Chayim B'Chesed. We learned the Haftorah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the Haftorah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach is the Haftorah of the dry bones of Ezekiel, that Yecheskel brings the dry bones back to life. And we explained that, I took it one giant step further, and I said Tchiyat HaMeitin can also refer to to what happened in our generation, different than any other generation that ever preceded it, that a people that was dying was brought back to life by the Rebbe Yisrael. Mm-hmm. All right, so now you have the 13 articles of faith. Okay, let's see. Timing. How long will it take for me to say it? And if I'm going to have to take a breath in the middle.
Oh.
All right. Tekiya Gedola. Tekiya Gedola. He exists. He is one. He's not physical. He's eternal. To him alone do we pray. All the Torah, God communicates with man. Moshe was the greatest of all the prophets. The entire Torah that's in our possession was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never be changed. God knows what we do and what we think. He rewards for good deeds and he punishes for evil deeds. The two ultimate rewards of all are the reward in this world, which is Yemot HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be a period in history. It's going to be a period in real history where we're going to be the same. Physically, we will be the same. We're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to go to work, we'll do all the things. It's not, the Yemot HaMashiach is not a spiritual world. It is a physical world. But it's a physical world in which there will indeed be real peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. And all of that is going to emanate from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Umala Ha'aretz Deo Et Hashem. The entire world will be full of the knowledge of God, Kamayim Layam Mechasim, like the waters cover the sea. Right? That's the introduction for this year. That's the introduction.
Oh, nice.
Now, second sheet. And we're going to go through one shtickle in the Haggadah, and that's it. One shtickle in the Haggadah. Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim. And you already know from last week the structure of the Haggadah. Should I tell you the truth? I'll tell you the truth. Whatever I said last week, I made it up. On the spot. Here in class. And it was so great. I'm so impressed with myself. I can see people watching this video, you know, they're going to start laughing at me. Okay, laugh at me. I've written it all up and I'm expanding it to be a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha over here. How many people are coming to the Shabbaton? Okay, not bad. You didn't hear it last week.
I heard the tape.
You had the tape. Right. Okay. Well, now you're going to hear it from me on Shabbos. And there'll be more. We're expanding it just for you. So here we are. This is, we're coming toward the end of the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, relating the story of Egypt. You will recall that I divided the Haggadah into three essential parts. The first part is the description of the mitzvah. Who has to fulfill the mitzvah? How does it have to be fulfilled? When is it fulfilled? That's all from the Manashtana up until and including Vehisha Amdal Avosein Velonu. That's the introduction. Ken, don't listen to me now. All right. And starting right after Vehisha Amdal, we begin with Sei Ulamad Ma Bikesh Lovin Harami Lasos. That is, in fact and indeed, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we tell the story via the study of Torah. We study the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo until we come to the second B'chol Davador, Chayav Adam Liris Sasatzmo Ki Yiluhu Yotzami Mitzrayim. And the third part of the Haggadah is praise and thanksgiving. Lefichach Anachnu Chayovim Lehodos, etc., etc., etc. In the middle of the Sipur, and we are darshaning a pasuk. This pasuk at the top of the page is one of the psukim at the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo, if I'm not mistaken. It's pasuk 6 in the declaration. Vayotzieinu Hashem Mitzrayim. God took us out of Egypt, b'yad chazaka, with a strong hand. Remember what we said about strong hand and zroa netuya, an outstretched arm. It's a manner of speaking. It does not describe the essence of God. We know that God with great fear, with signs and with miracles. So there we say, each one represents two. This pasuk represents all Eser Makos. By Yetzinu Hashem in Mitzrayim, B'yad Chazaka is two, Zeroa Netuya is two, Modah Gadol is two, Otot Umoftim. We'll see right away what the Baal Lil Shimurim says. Otot is a plural, so that means two. Moftim is a plural, so that means another two. Each, the rest of the markers were represented by two words. Mm-hmm. Take a look in the pasuk. How many words are there? Vayetzei Hashem Mitzrayim. From Biyot Chazok until the end of the pasuk, there are eight words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, 8 words. But these 8 words represent the 10 makos. How do 8 represent 10? Because the last two words are plurals. Otot is signs. Moftim are wonders. Okay? He reduced them, so to speak, to three words, the tzach, adash, ba'achav. Of course, what we have to understand is what was Rabbi Yehuda accomplishing over here. We live in a world where everything is reduced. Everything is reduced. How many, I remember when I first thought about this, the only things I was able to think of were NATO, CETO. I mean, today, every NGO is a bunch of HRWs, MW, WMD, What's WMD?
Weapons
of Mass Destruction. You're very, very good.
Oh.
And what's BSD?
Huh?
Boycott?
Boycott, divestment, and sanction.
Boycott, and what's...
Divestment and sanction.
Yeah, okay, I got that. Everything, so big deal, so maybe we'll say that the Yehuda was the first one, where he put together the Esamakos and the Tzach HaDash Bachav. The truth is, he could have done it in another way. It could have been the Tzacha, Dashab, Achab. I mean, there are all sorts of combinations that you can make over here. What was it that Yehuda accomplished?
Yeah.
All right. So now, I'm going to take you through this shtickler. Now, you're going to have to, how many times have I quoted, you have to do what my Rebbe used to say in grade one. Halt the finger, hold your finger on the spot so you should be able to follow through it. The explanation of what all this means, he says, the official drasha rishona, ena makos mirumazim dag b'teva achas u'bemosim k'moshe b'yarnu, chavah v'dorash shekol ha'esa makos mivuorim kam v'pratiyot. They're coming to tell us over here that all of the esa makos are found in that pasuk in Parsha Ki Tavo that we have said in the Haggadah. Now, you'll see I have numbers on the side by fives, and if I skip from one place to the next, I'll just tell you the number to look at. The pasuk says yesh kamo esa tevas. In this pasuk there are like 10 letters from the Yad Chazaka until the end of the pasuk. I told you that. Even though it's only eight words, but the yesh kan esa tevas, it's really nesha shtayim elu. But also, so the most of these two. Also, so most of them, Losh and Rabim, they are plural, so they are considered, line 5, Lech Shavim Kikfulam, Fulim, they are considered as double. V'yesh kan esa teva, so it really means that there are 10 words from B'yad Chazaka to the end of the Pasuk. V'chol elu meramzim alo esa makas, b'protius, k'mo shi'izbar, b'siyata v'shmaya, all of these words are remozim, they are hints to the 10 words, 10 makos. The inyan ha'esa makos nidah min ha'torah u'midrashi chazal shohayu muchrochim lo lehosef lo legroa. From the psukim, from the midrashim, it seems that there had to be 10, not 9 and not 11. If there had to be only 10, then it means that there was a purpose and an objective to each one of the makos. And there's no way to substitute anything else for it, add or subtract. Shadei kachom ha'akobish baruch hu Moshe, this is what the Holy One, blessed be, he said to Moshe. Od nega echod avi. Before makas b'choros, before the makos, the first one, the pasuk in Parsha Chol says that God tells Moshe, Od nega echod, one more plague I'm going to bring upon them. When he says one more plague, that of course leaves the clear impression from what the divine said, that there one more, that'll make it 10, and that's it. V'achreichen yishalach etchem mizeh, and afterwards he will send you out of here. The mevuah, the od nega echod muchrach lihiyot, one more plague there must be. V'yoter mizeh enutzar, more than that, unnecessary. The Medrash says in Shmos, "V'zol l'shenu mahu kol hamotim asher samti biyadecha." God tells Moshe, "Go back to Mitzrayim with all of the wonders that I have placed in your hand. What are the wonders that I have placed in your hand? Zehamata, that's the stick, the staff of Moshe. Shohayuksuven olav ha'eser makos, the 10 makos were written on the." On that staff. And how were they written? Lo and behold, they were written the Tzach Adash Ba'achav. The matter of Moshe had the Tzach Adash Ba'achav. The Chein Amar Rabbi Yehuda. And so said Rabbi Yehuda. All this is in the Medrash. The Ador Masha Kasu B'Shem Agro. Al-Maimer Rabbi Yehuda, you know his name, Simonim. The Akavonu L'Maimer HaMedrash. The Vilna Gaon says that when Rabbi Yehuda said when he gave Simonim, what Rabbi Yehuda is really telling us about is that that was the staff of Moshe. The staff of Moshe had the Marcus written in that form on it. The Hakavon of the Man Ramed, the Shalamata, Hoyakatov, Ezra Marcus, the 10 Marcus were written on the staff. Al Koponim, Middle Ahedya, Shaesa Marcus, Hoyamukhrochim, Liosadayim, Lisheshis, and May Bereshis. It means that it was determined and destined from the 10 days of creation, because in Perek Yomis it says that the matter of Moshe with which he did the miracles was already prepared from Sheshit Yimei Bereshit, from the beginning of time. It was created on the great first Erev Shabbos that the world experienced. On that Erev Shabbos, not only Adam and Chava were created, but also the Mateh came into existence, which means that this was all part of a divine plan. And therefore the 10 Makos that were on that staff represent, no, not 9 and not 11. Alright, so how did it get to Moshe? It got to Moshe because the staff was in Gan Eden. And I imagine that means the only thing we know that Adam HaRishon took with him when he was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he took that staff with him. And then ultimately it made its way to Moshe. How? You don't ask Kashas on the Rabbeinu Shalom. He knows how to do it. I'll tell you what the next big paragraph says. It says the following. When we study the Makot, you will see there's something very strange about it. But strange is, there's such a clear order. The first two Makot, Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro in advance. Mm-hmm. If you don't let my people go, blood. Everything, all the water will turn to blood. If you don't let my people go, there will be a plague of frogs. The third Makot, mm-hmm. Tinim, lice, comes without any kind of
warning.
No warning. Mm-hmm. One and two with warning, three without. The pattern goes straight through the Makos. Mm-hmm. 4 and 5 are with warning. 6, no warning. 7 and 8, with warning. 9, Choshech, no warning. And then the old Nega Echad, the one more, which is Makos Becharos. The question is why? Why does it work in this pattern? Mm-hmm. 2 with warning, 1 without. 2 with warning, 1 without. And then, when we look at the individual Makos, there's some very troubling things over there. When we get to number 4, mm-hmm. 4 were the mixture of wild animals that came through. A number of the Makos, we'll see them as we go through them individually. In a number of cases, God tells Moshe to tell Paro, this will not happen to the Jewish people. And Paro sent his men to see, is this Makkah coming upon the Jewish people? Mm-hmm. No. Twice that happens. What are we to assume? That the other 8 Makkahs happened to the Jewish people too? And only these two that are specified in Torah, only these two that were... Yeah. Didn't happen to the Jewish people. Madness. You can't even begin to. Can't even begin to understand that. So now we come to the crux of the matter. We had learned the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. About 200 years after the Rambam, Rabbi Yosef Albo, who wrote the Sefer Be'ikrim, the Book of Principles, mm-hmm. reduces the 13 of the Rambam to 3 pillars. 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yosef Albo says that all the 13 of the Rambam are included in the following 3. the existence of God. And as we pointed out, even when we learned the Rambam, that the first five that talk about the existence of God are really, they're one, but they are description. Yes, there is a God. He's one. He's not physical. He's eternal. To him alone do we pray. That was pretty good. I remembered. I could have forgotten also. That's not so simple. All right? Then I'd be in trouble. And then we pointed out again the second group. The second group talked about Torah min ha-shamayim, that God gives instruction from heaven. He didn't simply create a world and leave it without a guide to living. And the guide to living in Torah is not only for the Jewish people. There are the seven Noahide mitzvahs. God tells man how to live. Mm-hmm. Everything you create or you make, it has to come with a user's manual.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What are you supposed to do with the life that you have? So the second of the three pillars, according to Rav Yosef Halbo, is revelation at Mount Sinai. God taught Torah. He gave instruction to all of mankind. Guidance. Direction. Third pillar is reward and punishment. You have to do the mitzvahs. You don't do the mitzvahs, you do averes, there's going to be punishment. The Aruch HaShulchan, the author of this Leil Shimurim HaGadah, says dividing the Makos into three, the Tzach, Adash, V'Achav, is in order to teach Paro and Mitzrayim these three great articles of the faith. Each group of Makot is going to address another one of the three articles of the faith that we say include all 13. And he's going to be taught, Paro and Mitzrayim are going to be taught each one of them, and the rule is the following. You get one clock, you get a second clock. If you haven't learned the lesson yet, comes the third makkah without warning. Now there's something that distinguishes the third, the sixth, and the ninth. The third is rice, the sixth is boils, and the ninth is darkness. Each one of the three affected the body. The darkness was that thick they couldn't move. Boils, lice, because that's the clock. You didn't learn the lesson, that's what you get. That already doesn't have to come with any kind of warning. That has an intention in and of itself. In the whole parasha Va'eda and Bo, where the Makos appear, it says, if I'm not mistaken, it may be 10 times, Lamanteda, so that you should know, Ki Ani Hashem, that I am God. Lamanteda Ki Ani Hashem, in order that you know that I am God, Bekeret Ha'aretz, in the midst of the earth. Leman teda, so that you should know that there is none like me. All of the matters were not a random attempt at bringing suffering down upon the Egyptian people. The purpose of the matters was education, instruction, direction. There's no such thing as God simply bringing punishment. You don't learn the lesson, so what do you do that? You have to get a clock, but what's there to talk about? So now let's go through the markers. Let's go to line, the next paragraph. Line, that must be line 29, 30. The Lasher Shepano Vamitzrim Kofru Hakol, since Paro and Mitzrayim rejected all of these articles of the faith. Hey, Hashem Yitbarach Aleim, because them. The first thing God brought upon them was the makkah of blood and frogs. And the purpose of blood and frogs was to teach them that there's a God who created the world. And he's the only one who can radically dramatically change the very nature of the world. According to their wrong way of seeing things, hakol b'teva, everything is nature. Ve'in ha'teva yochol l'hishtanot. Nature can never change. Nature, that's it. L'chein hevi Hashem ha'gazdan. Therefore, God brought the plague of blood. Shehamayim shein betaklus ha'kridus. Water naturally is cold, turns into its exact opposite, blood, which is hot. Ve'in ha'teva ha'kridus mitapchul adam shein betaklus ha'chaminus. A dramatic and complete turning around of nature. This had to cause them to stop and think, what's happening over here? Is there some kind of a force that can determine nature? Is there a force that can change nature dramatically? Nature changed completely. The life of its tzvardeya is inextricably intertwined with water. That's their natural habitat. That's where they live. A tzvardeya, a frog, can live in a stove, in an oven, on land. It's unbelievable. That's a complete change in nature. When they go out to dry land, they can't live. God changed nature. Changed nature that they left their natural habitat, which of course is against the nature of the tzardeya, and they went to a place where they naturally cannot live. And then they end up in the ovens. These two makos came with warning. And the warning was, I'm bringing this l'man teda, so that you should know, ki ani Hashem, that I'm God. What was Paro's first response to Moshe, when Moshe told him, the God of the Hebrews has appeared to me and told me, let my people go? And he said, mi Hashem, who is God? I should eshna b'kolo, that I should listen to him. Who is God? Habibi, you're going to find out precisely who God is. And that's how it begins. He didn't learn the lesson. You know what happens because he doesn't learn the lesson? Comes a third makkah without any warning at all. U'shtayim elu, these two hoyo ha'yadei ha'tanah, through warning, v'zehu mofes, this is proof of mitziyut Hashem, the existence of God. Shemahapech ha'teva, kiritzono yivach, he can change nature by will alone. V'acharei shalom shomu l'shtei ha'traot elu, since they didn't listen to these two warnings, hichnis otam l'kipah. What he's saying now is, since they didn't listen, they have to get a punishment. And that punishment is something that affects their bodies directly. Because the Gemara talks about certain people who deny the dictates of the Sanhedrin or the Bedin, they have a right to put him into some kind of a solitary confinement until he agrees to follow the words of the rabbis. Shasivat kol gufam, that was makas kinim, the lice that surrounded their whole bodies. The makah stuck to their flesh. Mashallah, hoya came, but makas dam mitzvardeya. That didn't happen by makas dam mitzvardeya. Okay, the other side, let's see. Have to make sure we're going to make it to the end. The makas out of the deva, Nidbar the Torah Davar Kodesh. Listen to this very carefully. Oro were the mixture of wild animals that came down out of their natural habitat, out from the mountain. I don't know, lions, tigers, hippopotamus, elephants. Wild animals. Never lose sight of the fact. There can be human beings. There can be human beings who act like wild animals too. And we know enough of them. The Makasot of Devon is Barbatora Dobakhod, is something new. Enters into the story by these two plates. Ksiv, listen to the pasuk. Listen to the pasuk.
Yeah.
God says, "V'hifleti v'yomahu et eretz Goshen." I am going to distinguish and separate on that day, the day of these plagues. I'm going to distinguish the land of Goshen, asher ami omed olera, where my people live. Levulti hayot shamaro. They're not going to be an invasion of wild animals there. You read the pasuk and you begin to wonder yourself, what's God talking about? Jews suffer from Dan, from Tzvardeya, from Kinem. What does he mean by telling Paro, on that day I'm going to separate, distinguish my people, I'm going to be unique? Where in Jewish neighborhoods there won't be a plague. And the Chen Bedeva, the plague that killed the cattle, it says, "V'lo yomus mikol v'nei Yisrael dava." Not a single Yiddish shepseller is going to die. What? And Jews suffered from the other makos. But is a borrow? This is clear. The Gamba makot hakodmot lo show to makot Yisrael. It's clear that by all the other makos, it did not in any way affect the Jewish people. So why is God pointing out that these two matters are not going to affect the Jewish people? Why by Oro Vendeva does God have to say, these matters are not going to come upon the Jewish people? The purpose of the second group of matters was to teach Paro the good are rewarded and only the bad are punished. And you know how he's going to get it through Paro's thick skull? I'm bringing a marker of wild animals. Pay attention. Look carefully and you'll see. The land of Goshen, where my people are living, you won't see it there. The plague that's going to kill the livestock, it's only you guys, the bad guys, not by the Jewish people. It's being pointed out here is not because the other makos did affect the Jewish people. None of the makos affected the Jewish people. But there's a lesson to be taught here. And the lesson to be taught here is that the evil are punished. And those who are not evil are not punished. And take a look, Paro. You're not going to suffer from the wild animals, but not there. And you know what this fellow Paro does? He sends people, he sends his men to check. And they come back and they say, no wild animals in Goshen. By the plague of the animals, he again sends his people and says, check what's happening over there. Not a single Yiddish shepseller, not even a cat nor a dog, died. The purpose why it's pointed out is because now we are up to the second pillar of the faith. And that second pillar of the faith, Adash, Orov, and Dever, come to teach reward and punishment. Punishment for the evil and reward for the Jewish people. Two makos, he didn't learn the lesson. Comes the third one without any warning whatsoever. The boils that cover the bodies of the Egyptians. All right, we can go to the next. Well, the next is so fascinating. It's all fascinating. But you know, the next is even more fascinating. That looks like it's line 49. V'achakach b'makos borod, by hail, something new happens. Inyan chodosh. By hail. You read the psukim, then you have to stand up and ask what's happening over here. By hail, God tells Paro through Moshe, take your cattle in from the field so that they shouldn't be harmed by the terrifying hail that's going to fall. What's happening over here? All of a sudden God has a famous poor Egyptian Shepsalach. Oh, bleeding heart God. Oh, please get them out. Don't leave your servants in the field. If they're going to be in the field, they're going to be killed by the awesome hail. What's he talking about? You know what he's talking about? But what's happening over here is God wants to teach them Torah min hashamayim. There's instruction that comes from heaven. I have instructed the world how to live their lives. And if you reject my instruction, there will be instant retribution. Your mitzvah now is take your servants, your cattle, your shepselach, take them out of the field and put them under cover. Alright? Because we're learning now about Torah and Hashem. God instructs. God directs. He commanded the Egyptians that they should bring in Shachnisu Avodeyan Umiknam, they should bring in their servants and their cattle Habatim. This Makkah of Borah, hail, and locusts come afterwards. They correspond to the third of the three Ikarim, and that is Torah min Hashemayim. The Adova move on. God wasn't going to give them a mitzvah of tefillin or tzitzis or this or that. Just instruction. Instructions. Do you follow the instructions or don't you follow the instructions? So therefore, that was by Barak. Now, number 155. This is such a cute. It's really cute. It's beautiful. In the Pasha of Arbe, the locusts, there's something that's repeated 3, 4, 5 times. You don't see it by any of the markers. The Arve is going to come down Bechol Gvul Mitzrayim, within the boundaries of Egypt. The plague will be throughout all of the boundaries of Egypt. What about Dan Svardeya Kinim Orov Devashkin Borod? Were they outside the boundaries of Egypt? They're all inside the boundaries of Egypt. Why is it pointed out by Arbe 4, 5 times? You know why? History never changes. For many years there was a border dispute between the southern neighbors of Egypt and Egypt. Who is it? The Sudan? Who's that? Sudan, Eritrea, Darfur, Bangladesh, Akhvez.
Yeah.
I know where they all are.
Yeah.
The southern neighbor of Mitzrayim, of Egypt and Egypt, had a border dispute for years. You know, where's the 67 lines? So you know what the Rebbeinu did? He said that the Arve is going to come down before Gvul Mitzrayim. These locusts ate up all the grass starting from the border of Egypt inward. So if you wanted to know where the real border is, you looked at the first green line in history. Where the grass was growing, that was Sudan. Where the grass was eaten, that was was Egypt. So that means Arve also was a horoa min hashamayim. God is teaching from heaven. He's deciding the border dispute. They didn't listen to Borod or Arbe, so you know what had to come? Choshech. The final mark, of course, is Makas Becharos, and that's in order to teach Mitzrayim a completely different lesson, and that is B'ni B'chori Yisrael. Israel is my firstborn. That's it. You have to know that for all of history. It's something that they don't like. They don't like it until today. A tremendous amount of the anti-Semitic literature being disseminated in the world today is a rejection of the chosenness of the Jewish people. A rejection of that. They despise that. Okay, listen. What do you do? So therefore, the Tzach Abash Ba'achav were not random divisions of the ten markers. The Tzach Abash Ba'achav represented three major tenets of world belief. The Tzach establishes that God exists. The Abash tells us that there is reward and punishment. And Ba'achav comes to tell me that there is Torah, instruction, and guidance that comes from heaven. Now, of course, I could leave you, I will leave you, with material to think about during all of Pesach. If you want to write it up and come back and hand it in to me, we'll mark you. If you write something good, then pass. This three is repeated and repeated in so many different places you can't even imagine. I'll give you a few of them, and then you'll be able to attempt on your own, but don't go off the deep end. Wherever you find three, it means this. There are three parshiot in Shema. There's no question about it. But the first parsha in Shema is the greatest declaration of the existence of God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There is no question about it that the second chapter of Shema is clearly an enunciation of reward and punishment. V'hoyam shomer atishmu, if you're going to listen to my mitzvahs, I will bring the rain in its time, and you will gather in the produce from the field. Oy, but if you're not going to keep my mitzvahs, v'chorach Hashem lechem, God is going to get angry with you, he will withhold the rain, etc., etc. The third parsha in Shema, the parsha of tzitzis, that you should remember all of the mitzvahs, that you should do them. Tzitzis reminds us of all of the 613 mitzvahs. So that the first parsha is the parsha of Metziut Hashem, the existence of God. The second is Schar Va'onesh, reward and punishment. And the third is Torah Min Hashamayim. Torah, instruction, mitzvahs come from heaven. Wait a minute. We're going to go into extra innings. I don't have my second shear. We can keep going now till 1 o'clock. No. I'll just give you another two or three examples of this threesome as it appears in our lives. Every Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, there is no difference in the text of Shmon Esrei between Maariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. The same Shmona Esrei. The same. Every day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv. The same Shmona Esrei. All right, a little bit of a difference of whatever you say. Whether you say Sim Shalom or Shalom, it's the same Shmona Esrei. Only one day that arrives about 52 times a year, Shabbos, the text of the Shmoneh Esrei, the central theme of the Shmoneh Esrei is completely different. Friday night, Ato Kiddushet Yom Hashvi, God, you're the one who sanctified Shabbos. We talk about creation. You made Shabbos. You made Yom Hashvi. We come to Shabbos in the morning, the Shmoneh Esrei of Shacharis is completely different. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Let Moshe be happy with that which was given him. And we describe Moshe coming down from the mountain. Ushnei luchot avanim b'yado v'chatov v'hem shmirat shabbat. He's coming down with the two luchos, and it says in the mitzvah Shabbat. The whole Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbos in the morning is Moshe receiving Torah at Sinai. Friday night is God, the Creator, making the world. He is it. He's the first cause. He's the prime mover. He's the omnipotent. He is the omniscient. Whatever word you want that I don't understand what it means. What it means, he is the. That's Friday night. Shabbos in the morning, we're talking a description, a beautiful, poetic, powerful description of revelation, God giving Torah at Sinai. Mincha, it's a different Shon Esser. What a Shon Esser, that's awesome. Ato Echod, V'Shimcha Echod, V'mi Ka'amcha Yisrael, V'yachar Barak, you are one, and your people Israel is one. And there's going to be a time that there'll be Menucha, Avram is going to sing, Yitzhak is going to dance, Yaakov is going to be happy, everybody will be happy. What's being discussed at that Mincha? What's being discussed at that Mincha is not anything we have yet seen in this world. The Atah of the Shimcha is describing the great reward of the Jewish people. There will come a time the Hoy Hashem, the Lord of God, is going to be king on this whole world. Right. So they have three different Shmon Esreis, and each one is talking about something different. If you will, and I think the Rabbi Yosef Karo says this in the Torah, that the three Shmon Esreis of Shabbos refer to three great Shabbatot in history. The first is Shabbat Bereshit, the first Shabbos that ever existed. The second one is Shabbos Sinai. The Gemara says Torah was given to the Jewish people on Shabbos. And then Mincha is describing Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umenucha L'chai Olam, that period in history when it will be one great Shabbos for the world. Three Shmona Esreis, three pillars of the faith. Three parashas of Shema, three pillars of the faith. I'm just going to say another field I'm going. Malchus the Chronos and Shofros, the Shona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Malchus the Chronos and Shofros, just read through them and you'll see that what I'm saying is absolutely true. And Rav Yosef Albo is the one who uses that in his, one of his proofs that these are the three pillars. Malchus the Chronos and Shofros of Rosh Hashanah. One tape recording went off. Okay, so that means the. Okay, what other one? Malchus, the Rangus, Pesach, Kriya Shema. Yeah, go over.
Pesach,
Shuas, and Sukkot.
No,
Pesach, Matzah, Moro. Right, so Pesach, Shuas, Sukkot. Pesach, Matzah, Moro. Threes. Okay. Who? You know, Ruvain, I was prompted to say no. But I'm going to say yes.
Thank you.
Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Yes. Each one represents something else. Yaakov is Emes. Titein Emes L'Yaakov. What is Emes? Emes is Torah. All right. Avram is the one who discovers God. Of course Avram is Mitzios Hashem. And Yitzhak, of course, is the one that says, no, reward and punishment. No. Al Tishlach Yad Chalanav Al Tarsal Mura, don't do any. Alright, there are many others, but that's it. That's the Tzach Adash Bachav. You should all have a gesunde Freilichen and Kosher Pesach. And I think Rabbi Adler already told you that we do not begin on the first Tuesday, the day immediately after Pesach, because you know where. People will be coming back late from where they were for Yom Tov, So the following Tuesday we begin. Okay. Chag Sameach.
Thank you so much.